You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dehati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey there, this is the New Churches Podcast powered by the Sin Network. I'm Clint Clifton, and we've got two guests joining us again that were here recently. This is Vance Pittman and Trevin Wax. Vance is the founding pastor of Hope in Hope Church in Las Vegas, and he's the current president of the Sin Network. It's the largest church planting network in North America, and he's been a church planter himself for a really long time and led his church to plant more than 75 new churches in the west of the United States. Vance and his wife, Christy, have four children and almost four grandchildren. And Trevin is the vice president of research and resources over at the North American Mission Board, and he's a visiting professor at Cedarville University. He's been a missionary to Romania, and he's served as the general editor for the Gospel Project, as well as authored several books, including the forthcoming Thrill of Orthodoxy. He and his wife, Karina, have three children. And today, we're going to talk together about church-based church planting networks as opposed to and how they fit into national church planting networks. So welcome, gentlemen.
Yep, glad to be with you guys. I'm glad that we're talking about this subject because it tends to be a topic of conversation among planters and among church planting networks and organizations. People just trying to figure out where they align, how they fit alongside other groups, and how their network fits into bigger church planting organizations. So there are different phases that have developed to describe this sort of ongoing relationship that a church has to its missionaries, has to its church planters. Some call them church-based networks. Some call them micro-networks. You two, both of you, have led networks from your local church that have been connected to larger networks as well. So
yeah.
I'd like to just hear from both of you. Clint, we'll start with you. Like how do those churches relate to one another?
Yeah. So we began planting much like Hope and Vance really early on. We were in year one. We hadn't had our first anniversary. We commissioned our first church planting team out. And really early on, we kind of saw it as a snowball that we hoped would build, and then the two churches would get to plant a third church together, and then the three a fourth, and we imagined it like that. And it turns out that we started planting different types of churches. We planted churches in military communities, and then we planted some churches in Iceland, and we planted some churches among ethnic groups in our community. And so we ended up forming several little networks that were sort of along the lines of those affinities, and it sort of just naturally happened like that. And then we were doing that before NAM had a very clearly identified network. And then when the Sin Network started to form, we were proud to be a part of that and wanted to be a part of it. But we were trying to figure out, just like everybody around the country that was planting churches, how do we meaningfully fit into that without giving up all the things that were meaningful to us individually, the things that we were passionate about, and sort of surrendering them to the national movement. And so it's been a bit of a difficult journey to figure out how those things fit together, what parts of it are good to pass along. But we've always wanted, and I think this is common among churches that multiply, we've always wanted to have a important, personal, meaningful relationship with the churches we plant.
So, Vance, would you say it's something similar for you in your situation? With 75 churches planted outside from one church or commissioned. I know some of those churches are churches planting churches, but like how do they interact with each other?
Yeah, and actually, Trevin, those 75 don't count our granddaughter
and that kind of stuff,
churches. Those would just be the ones that actually came through our process that we had partnered with. So yeah, we had a church-based network. We actually had a church-based network that kind of became another network. We joined in with a network called Launch back again before Sin Network was a thing. Brian Bloyd, Chip Henderson, Mac Lake, and all of us were doing that thing back 12, 14 years ago. And, you know, now I'm president of Sin Network. And one of the things I understand as president of Sin Network, one of the major questions we have to answer moving forward, I believe the future of all denominational work, networks, is this network of networks idea that we have to have at Sin Network. We have to be a network of networks. We have to learn how to allow other micro church-based networks to play, if you will, within the umbrella of what we provide as Sin Network. Otherwise, if we don't do that, we become a more narrow version of our own tribe than we are currently. Because if you think about Sin Network being the future, if you will, of SBC, we have to figure out how these things collaboratively work together. And for me, when I think about how those church-based networks relate to one another, it's really a familial type example. It's kind of like the parent-child relationship. If you think about being a parent with a child, there's kind of three phases of relating. The first one is survival. Like, that kid's not going to survive without you as parents.
Right, right.
And then there's this phase of life development and maturity where you're walking with this child to begin to teach them how to do life, how to develop, how to mature, what it looks like to live on your own. And then there's this third piece of values collaboration. So, like, I raised my kids. There was a day when they were newborns and infants. They're not surviving without Christy and I. And then there was this period through their elementary, high school, early college years where we're helping them mature and develop. But now three of my four kids are married. My youngest is in college. And now the way we relate to them is around values collaboration. The things that we now share, faith, mission, CrossFit, the things that we, that's what now drives us together. So when you think about church-based networks, that's kind of it. In the early days, that church plant, it's not surviving without dependence on that sending church and that family of churches. But then you walk with them for a season of letting them mature, where you're teaching them systems and processes and leadership development and all the things to help them become a multiplying church. And then what really holds church-based and micro networks together is values collaboration, where you begin to collaborate together, whether that's city engagement, global engagement, some type of social-based ministry that's rooted and grounded in the gospel. There's some collaborative mission that ties them together long-term, or some value around God dependence, prayer, prayer ministry. It's values collaboration that keeps them long-term.
Yep. So values collaboration, that's a big part of this. I also think personality, relationship is a part of this as well. I mean, the relationships that are built within these church-based networks or micro networks. And so that brings me to just a question. Clint, I mean, a church planter that's sending out and investing in other church planters wants to have to maintain a relationship, wants to develop a pastoral relationship,
right,
and to maintain that at some level. So what kinds of things do you do regularly when you to relate to the church planters that you've sent out? How do you maintain those relationships so that the values of that network remain strong, tight?
Yeah. So there are some things that sending churches and church-based networks can do that national networks just can't do. We touched on it briefly, and that's the relational component. The advantage I have over the send network when it comes to the church planters I've sent out is that I know their wives, I know their kids, they love me. We spend time together. I know their personal backstories. And so I'm able to play a role with them that a national network it's impossible for it to play. The converse is true too, though. There are some things the national network does for church planters that I could never do for them. I cannot provide the level of assessment or training. I can't provide even the support that's given through the larger family of churches. And so, at the risk of repeating Vance's comments, you know, verbatim, it's really a family-like scenario. I have, in my family, we have extended family that plays important roles in their life, but it's not the same role I play with my kids as a father. And so, I think it's really good for us to recognize that those concentric circles of care and love make it more likely that a church planter will be successful. I think of it also I would, you know, I mean, if you've got just one layer, you know, and that layer might be me and my relationship to my church planter, that's a kind of thin piece of veneer. But if you stack another layer on top of that, go in a different direction and glue those two things together, like a piece of plywood, that's a stronger layer of veneer. And you add into that sort of state groups and others that can come along and provide support. And we can really strengthen church planters to increase the likelihood of success, you know, tenfold.
Really helpful, Clint. Vance, I mean, you're leading a national network now, so obviously you've helped start a church-based network, and you've done that. When you look out over the landscape of church planting, and you see church-based networks and national networks, I mean, what are some of the things that a national network can help provide that a church-based network would struggle to? Clint's mentioned a couple here on training and assessments, but I just wonder, like, would you echo those? What would you add to that?
Yeah, I thought what Clint said was spot on. And I think this is an important thing that needs to be said. Networks are a part of biblical missiology. I think it is important that we always root and ground our strategies and practices in Scripture. Paul, greatest church planter who's ever lived, and there's a pretty good missiology we can learn from him. And if you notice in the New Testament, no church in the New Testament joined in the mission alone. That's why a lot of the writings of Paul is Paul going to this church to raise money for that church, who's helping do something for this church, and they're sending people to go serve in that community. There was a kingdom collaborative effort among the churches in the New Testament. Some of them would have been church-based micro networks where they knew each other well and they'd sent out, but others, they didn't really know them at all. Some of the churches, when you get into Asia Minor, they never had met anybody from Jerusalem. Mm. And yet there were churches in Macedonia that were sending money to the suffering Jewish believers in Jerusalem. So there was a both layers of this networking principle we're talking about are there. But there are some things, having been a part of a micro church-based network and now leading a national network, there's some things that the national network brings that I simply couldn't do in a church-based network. For example, the level of resources that are available.
Yeah.
One of the things that our tribe loves to say is we can do more together than we can do by ourselves. And that's just the bottom line. For example, Send Network just rolled out this past spring, a suite of benefits for all church planters in their first year, where we're providing health insurance and retirement. Something that as a church-based guy, I could never have done that for all of our planters, but we're able to offer that because of the national network and resources. And there's so many resources like that that are available. Another thing that's available is exposure to best practices. Often in a church-based network, all those churches are very similar in their strategy and DNA. And it's when you get exposed to a larger national-based network that you begin to see some different ways of doing things, some different ideas, some different methodology, and it challenges you to really think through why you're doing what you're doing. Another thing is relationships. There are people that maybe would never have met outside of the national network, and I believe convictionally the kingdom of God runs on the rails of relationships. So the expansion of those relationships and opportunities to do that, and then finally, impact. The reach is bigger. And when I'm a part of a church-based network, we celebrate 75 churches being planted over the last 22 years. That's awesome. But last year, Sin Network had 760 churches planted.
In one year.
Yeah. And because I'm a part of that, that's not them. That's us. Because we're sharing, we're giving into that pool. We get to say that and look, I'm a little bit selfish. I want my eternity portfolio to be legit. And I'm making an investment in something that is so much bigger than what I could do as just a church-based guy. I think those are some of the things that make the national network appealing.
Okay, so you've just made a really compelling case for national network, which I'd expect as the president of a national network. But I want to flip that question around the other way, because your experience was church-based network for years. So what are some of the things? I mean, obviously we think that both of these kinds of networks are valuable, otherwise we wouldn't be having this conversation. What are some things that a church-based network or a micro network can meet, the needs that they can meet that a national network may have a harder time providing?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is what Clint's already said. That's a sense of tribe and family. There's a depth of relationship you get in the church-based micro network that you simply can't get. It's right. one of the reasons right. why Sin Network has struggled in our 12 years of existence to figure it out, because you lack a sense of soul when you're just a national network without the tribe family sense of the micro church based network. So there's a depth of relationship, like he talked about, knowing wives. Now at Sin Network, we do the best we can to provide care through micro and church based relationships, but there's no way we could ever know what's happening with all the planters all over North America like a church based network could in their particular region or location. But a second thing that I would say is contextualized strategy. We can at Sin Network offer a broad brush training and coaching. But I've always said, having lived now in the Western United States for 22 years, the West is now my home. I'm from the Bible Belt, from Alabama, the South. But planting in Nashville or Memphis or Birmingham is not planting in Seattle or Las Vegas or Los Angeles. It's a very different context. And so there's a contextualization to the strategy that the local micro church-based network is allowed to bring. A third thing I would say is a sense of accountability. Let's just be honest. When you surrender to church planting, the enemy puts a target on your back and he's coming after you full steam ahead. And you can bluff your way through calls with a national network as far as accountability goes. But when you have people involved at a depth of relationship in your life, there is a level of accountability and trust and vulnerability that you're able to have that's different than a national network. So I am convinced it is not either or. It is absolutely both and. Both are essential to the accomplishment of the mission.
Hmm. Vance, Hope Church, the church you planted out in Vegas, it grew to be a large, influential church over the time that you were there since it's been planted. But you and I both know that most of the pastors that are listening to this podcast will never pastor a church as large as the one you have. They'll pastor much more modestly sized congregations that probably won't have their own facilities for a really long time, and they'll be just modestly sized. How big does a church have to be, from your point of view, to begin multiplying? Because that's a question these small churches, church planters are asking a lot.
No, it is. And I appreciate you bringing it up, because it has been a challenge for us, even in our own multiplication strategy in Vegas, because, you know, what God, and listen, it was God and his grace and provision that allowed us to enjoy the favor that we've enjoyed in a place like Vegas. It's not our skill. It's not our communication ability. It's not our strength. God and his grace and favor allowed us to enjoy. I think part of that is our DNA of kingdom. He knew that we were a church that would send it out. And so he said, you seek first the kingdom, I'll take care of everything else. Right. But it's also become an obstacle, because it's such a big shadow that a lot of guys, it's hard to measure up to what happened there. But here's what I try to teach our guys. The size of the church doesn't determine its significance. The size of the mission determines its significance. And the mission is big.
Yeah.
The mission is big. So here's what that means. A church of 30 meeting in a hut in West Africa is as significant as a church of 10,000 meeting in a major city in the United States, because they're both leaning into the same mission. Yeah. And again, to drive this back to a biblical missiology, the early church had both. The church at Jerusalem, historians and scholars tell us that by the time the church in Jerusalem was 6 months old, 100,000 people had become followers of Jesus in Jerusalem. Now, some of those didn't stay. They left Jerusalem, and Paul would find them while he was on his missionary travels. But a lot of them were in Jerusalem. A lot of them stayed, and they were multi-ethnic. On the first day, in the day of Pentecost, I think it's like 12 to 15 different language groups came to know Christ. And so in Jerusalem, you had this thriving, mega, multi-ethnic church that was engaging in the mission. but you also had Antioch and Ephesus and other churches that were thriving epicenters of gospel activity in the first century that, best we can tell, were never anything more than house churches like the church at Philippi. So it was both in the early church and it's both today. And the size of the church doesn't determine it. The size of the mission does. And I have two friends, one's in Tucson, one's in Texas. Their churches, neither one of them run more than 250, 300 people. And they are thriving, multiplying churches that are sending out, raising up, developing leaders and sending them out.
Yeah. One of the things I love about that last comment you made is that the reality is the ground is really level when it comes to church multiplication, because it only takes one thing to multiply a church, and that's a ready leader. Right. So if a large church is no more equipped to ready a leader than a small church is, because it's all about discipleship. If I'm a pastor of a modestly sized church that meets in an elementary school, I can invest in a person in my congregation and ready them for multiplication work just like you can. In fact, I might do it better because I have more time and capacity and less demands on me.
Clint, let me biblically make your case. I'm going to say something I've never said before, so I hadn't thought this really through, but think about it. The big mega church in the New Testament missed out on Paul.
Yeah.
They sent him home. They didn't trust him.
Wow.
It was the small Antioch that was able to build the relational equity with him over 2 years where Saul became Paul and was sent out. So who had greater impact in the New Testament than Paul? Yeah. And yet it wasn't the thriving mega metropolitan church. It was the small sending church of Antioch that actually identified the gifts and the callings in Paul and raised him up and sent him out. So I think your point's biblical.
Yeah. And as organizations grow, we go from like barbarians to bureaucrats. You know, we go from being willing to do whatever it takes to having lots of factors to consider in our responsibility to manage a large organization. And so sometimes the barbarians are just better suited.
You're right.
But sometimes the bureaucrats have larger reach and extent of influence too.
That's right.
I would say because both of these are important. So I know we got to wrap up this conversation. Vance, I'd just be curious. We've talked about how church-based networks can relate to national networks and vice versa. What about national networks? I mean, obviously, you're going to be speaking primarily for how you see Sin Network relating to other national networks, what's the aspiration here for how national networks can collaborate, work together? Like what do you see as the goal there?
The kingdom of God is bigger than any one denomination, network, or tribe. And the end game is about kingdom expansion to the ends of the earth. When we see Revelation 5, 9, and 10, every tribe, tongue, people, and nation around the throne, it says he's made them to be a kingdom. I'm a part. I lead Sin Network, that is the church planting arm of the Southern Baptist Convention, one of the largest evangelical denominations in the world. But here's the beauty of that statement. God doesn't need Southern Baptist Convention, and God doesn't need Sin Network. But he's allowing us the opportunity to lean into the expansion of his kingdom. And I want to lead Sin Network to partner collaboratively with other networks that have the gospel at the center and the kingdom as the aim to be expanded to the ends of the earth. Because that's when we're really leaning into a Christ-like missiology, because his desire was that the kingdom come on earth just as it is in heaven. And that's the real end game, is the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Vance, thank you so much, and Trevin, for offering your comments and wisdom on the subject. I'm really excited to see the future of our work together, how micro-networks, church-based networks fit into an overall national strategy to reach our nation. Thanks so much for your investment.
Always an honor.
Thanks. Love hanging with you guys.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.